Welcome to the Windows Workflow Foundation Developer Screencast Series. My name is Matt Milner, and I work for Pluralsight, a training company that provides both instructor-led and online courses for Microsoft developers. Visit www.pluralsight.com for more details. In this short screencast, I'm going to show you how to use the SQL tracking services within Windows Workflow Foundation to track the activity that happens within your workflows. In order to get started using the SQL tracking service for Windows Workflow Foundation, we first have to create a database and set it up with some tables, views, and some stored procedures that the SQL tracking service is going to use. So the first step is to change directories. We'll go into Windows, Microsoft.net, Framework, and we'll go into version 3, and this is true even if you have version 3.5 of the framework on your machine. And then we'll go into Windows Workflow Foundation, the SQL directory, and then your specific language directory, which on my machine is the English directory. And that's where we'll find several scripts. Now we've got a couple for persistence here and two for tracking. One script, the tracking schema, sets up all the views and tables, while the tracking logic script sets up all the stored procedures for us. So first I'll use SQL command, and I'm going to go out and instruct it to create a database, and we'll call that workflow tracking. And now that we've got the database created, I can run these scripts in. So I'll specify that database, workflow tracking, give it an input file, and I'll first use the tracking schema to make sure I set up all the structure. And then we'll use the tracking logic script to set up the database. Now if I switch over to the SQL Server Management Studio here, we'll see there's the workflow tracking database. And if we expand out the tables, we'll see that we've got a number of different pieces of information that can be cataloged and stored, including various information about the activities that are used within the workflows. So we get the information about those activity types, so those workflow types, and then also the various instances. So we can see that we get information about a particular activity instance that's been executed. So now that the structure is all set up and there's a database ready to accept some data, need to go out and have the workflow runtime configured to actually use that database structure. So what I have is a simple workflow using some custom activities that have been used in some of the prior screencasts. So I have a Git Manager activity and a Send Mail activity. The first is simply going to look up the manager for a particular user, which in this case I've hard-coded to my name for the employee name. So it'll look up a manager and then it'll send an email. So very straightforward and simple. And then I'll come out to the main method for my program file. And I'm going to come out here, and after setting up the workflow runtime, I'm going to set up the SQL tracking service. And you'll notice with that I need to add a reference, or add a using statement rather, for the system workflow runtime tracking namespace. And we'll do a new instance of that. And here we need to pass in the connection string to the SQL Server database. So the database was called Workflow Tracking. And we'll say Integrated Security equals SSPI. And now that I have an instance of that tracking service, I can set other properties on it if I want to. I have a few here. The isTransactional property, which determines whether or not the SQL tracking service participates along with the persistence service and saves all its information as part of that same transaction, or whether it stores the information as it goes along using local transactions. And we also have the ability to do things such as partition the data. So tracking data is going to collect over time. The built-in SQL tracking service can partition that data into different tables so that you can partition based on time intervals, such as once a month or once a week, depending on the amount of data you have. And then we also have the use default profile, setting, which is a Boolean value, and defaults to true. And that means that when we go ahead and add this in, the SQL tracking service is going to assume a default profile if it doesn't find a specific profile for our workflow type. And that means it'll track basic information about events that are happening throughout the workflow execution. So I'm going to simply add in the tracking service to the execution here. And I can run my workflow quickly. And we'll see that it runs to completion. If we go out and check the mail directory for our demos, we see there's our mail message that just got created. Now, I have that data then that's collected out in the database. I could come out in the SQL Management Studio and I could run queries here. So I might go in and look for particular activities or the different events that might happen. But rather than having to go out and run queries against the database, I can also use the Query API. So if we come back into our program, I'm going to expand this out. After our workflow runs, I'm going to use the Query API to go out and run a query against that tracking database and find out what kind of workflows have been executed. So I'm going to create an instance of the SQL tracking query options. And I'll say that I want to look for workflows where the status equals a workflow status of completed. Now, as you can see, I have other variables here. I can use a date range, a min date and max date to do that. I can specify a workflow type. So I might want to just query for workflows of a particular type. And I can also use tracking data items. And we'll cover those in a later screencast where we can actually create custom profiles and be able to track out specific pieces of data within a workflow and then come back and query for those particular pieces of data. Now in this case, I'm going to get back a SQL tracking workflow instance or collection of those. So call that track instance. And we'll say for each of those in, and then I'm going to say I want to create a new SQL tracking query, and I'll give it the same connection string. So we can actually just copy and paste that here. And we'll call the get workflows, passing in our options. So I've created an instance of the SQL tracking query. I've called get workflows on that to get back my collection of workflows that match those options. And so I could write out now for that tracking instance, I could get the workflow type, full name, for example. But also from that, I can get the information about the various activities and other tracked events that have happened for that workflow instance. So I could say activity tracking record in the tracking instance activity events. And now I have a record or piece of data about each of the activity events that have happened in there. And those come with information about when they happened and also a specific ID about the order, so you have a sense of what's gone on in the workflow and in what order. And so I'm going to spit out here some information. So we'll look at that event order as our first piece of data that we'll write out. And then I want to write out the activity type. So we slide up here, we'll see we have the activity type, full name. And finally, we'll spit out the event date time. So we can get some basic information about that particular activity that occurred in the workflow instance. We'll see what order they came in and what time they happened and which particular activity has executed. So we simply create the track and query options. We set some parameters around that for what we want to track on. And then we have the ability to go out and use the SQL Tracking Query class to execute that query and get back a list of SQL Tracking workflow instances. And those are going to give us access then to all the different pieces of data that have been tracked. So if we run this again, we'll see we get two sets of data. The first up here is from the workflow that we ran before. And we can see we've got the various event orders on the left there, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And we can see the various activities then as they execute and go through those stages of execution. Now notice we get the Git Manager activity twice and SendMail activity twice. I've used a poor choice of words there. We see that the default profile actually indicates when that's executing and closed. So we first see when it begins executing and then immediately it closes, as both of those activities are simple activities. And then we have the second workflow instance down here that's executed. So if we ran that again, we'd simply see the same thing three times, as we've now executed one more time. That data is stored out in the tracking database. And we have the ability then to pull that back with those tracking query options. So that's a quick example of how you can set up the database, how you add the tracking service and configure it within your workflow runtime, and finally how you can use the SQL Tracking Query API to go in and have a strongly typed interface to query against that database and find information about particular workflows that may currently be executing or have executed in your workflow runtime. Thank you for watching this video in the Windows Workflow Developer Screencast Series. You can find more in-depth online training videos at Pluralsight.com. Pluralsight offers an extensive library of online training courses covering a variety of current and emerging Microsoft technologies, and you can access this valuable content from anywhere, anytime, within just a few clicks, while still learning from industry experts you trust. Check it out today at Pluralsight.com.